Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with episode 55 of Tech to Go. Again, I'm here with my regular co-host, Randy Johnston, who is vice president at Network Management Group Incorporated, NMGI, and also a principal with K2 Enterprises. So, Randy, welcome today.
Good day, Darren. Welcome to all our listeners. I'm pleased to be coming to you from close to home in the Kansas City area for the Kansas Tax Conference today.
Good. Well, hopefully you guys didn't get any of those storms from yesterday, did you?
Unfortunately, yes. But, you know, it's one of those odd periods, and of course a lot of our listeners are thinking about the things that have already happened. But, you know, for early fall with all these weird storms on the East Coast that took out power for days and days, and then Denver shutting things down, it's been a really wild time frame here.
Yeah, you guys are kind of in that alley, too, where you get a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, Randy,
you know, I guess it's even worse when you think about a poor old CPA practice advisor being real close to the earthquake 10 days ago.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, you and I just got back from a round of conferences. We were both at, I was at Thomson Reuters Conference. I believe we were both at CCH. And then you spent some time at Sleater's Conference.
Indeed. Yeah. It's the conference season, if you will, and I thought it was fascinating for the different announcements that were made, some of the new developments and so forth. So it made me smart of us to spend a little time sharing some of those experiences with our listeners who maybe didn't make it there.
Absolutely. Well, why don't I kick off? Thomson went first this year with their conference. It was really, I don't remember if it was late October or early November, but it was right in that time frame. What John Barron sort of coined this term, which I don't think is necessarily a new term, but he said he's calling things a now firm. So, you know, at RootWorks, we've often talked about the next generation accounting firm. John's spin on this is it's a firm of now. And I found that interesting because I think Mike Sabatis also did a keynote based on that same concept. But at the Thomson conference, John unveiled, John's, you know, as president of Thomson, unveiled, you know, where he sees a lot of mobile things going. I believe Thomson will be launching in April, May timeframe of 2012, this idea that a firm, you know, I'll use my firm as an example, Root and Associates, could have an app in the App Store that is kind of supported by Thomson, but, you know, gives our clients the ability to have an app from Root and Associates that gives them insight into key data that we have for them. So, you know, we do a lot of payroll. Maybe our clients' employees could download the Root and Associates app and be able to see their paycheck stubs or their W-2s. Or maybe a client can download an iPad app and be able to see their tax return documents, things like that. So pretty cool. That was a pretty cool announcement, I thought.
That makes great sense.
Had you heard?
Yes. In fact, I knew of those things. Obviously, Brian from our team was also there. And, you know, just extending that thought a little bit further because of some of the work that we've done together with websites, if you think about websites now evolving to a one-to-one delivery mechanism and some of the extensions that are happening in the Thomson line. By the way, some of the CCH extensions that we saw that are going to be similar to Thomson. And for that matter, even some of the individual things that you can add to your websites with appropriate tools today, I think we're going to see this mechanism of client service automated to the level that we can now reasonably afford to provide that level of service, which in the past just wasn't even possible without way too much expense and time tied up.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what John was really referring to when he talked about the firm of now. Really, the technology is there now for firms to offer this level of service. You know, I was in a media event at Thomson's conference, and John Barron was in there, and I asked him a fairly pointed question, which I agreed with his assessment. But the question was, in society we hear that some people are getting richer and some people are getting poorer, so we have more the have and the have-nots. I asked him, do you see this in the accounting profession as well? Do we see firms that are greatly moving ahead with their use of technology and best practices and processes and procedures, and other firms not moving much at all? And he said, his take was absolutely that's what he's seeing. Ask him to kind of give me some percentages. And, his percentages were really, he's seeing roughly 40% of firms moving ahead quite nicely and 60% of firms staying more still, wondering what they should be doing. John's take was, they don't like change much, but the message should be that they're going to like irrelevance even worse. So what's your take on that, Randy?
Well, those words of change and irrelevance, Mike Sapatis used in his keynote, and honestly, so did Kevin Robert, who is obviously CEO for Wolters Kluwer North American operations. And it is clear to me that firms are either choosing to be proactive with their technology and re-implementing and doing training, or they're sitting on the sidelines. And the ones that are sitting on the sidelines, I also believe that the partner income, per partner income, is dropping along the way. And I think they're almost frozen in their tracks because they don't know exactly what to do. Sometimes I think the thinking is, if I stay the same, I've got less risk. And maybe our listeners today would kind of think about this in the light, if you stay the same, you are actually changing, and you're probably changing for the worse. And so the implementation of these new technologies is not easy, but I think needed at this point. And I think John's number of 40% may surprisingly be low based on what I think I see here and hear going on. It could be as high as 60%, so maybe over half the firms not really moving ahead.
That's what John was saying. He was saying 40 was moving ahead, 60 was not.
Ah, okay, I misheard it. So, I guess then
I was thinking more 70-30, Randy.
Yeah, it could be as high as that, I think, Darren. And maybe part of the issue here is we have a number of firms where the partners, owners are maybe considering selling out, and they're not quite sure that they want to invest more in their firm at this point because they don't think it will add value to their firm in a transaction. And since the last time we recorded a podcast, if you think about Clifton Gunderson, Larson Allen merging, big firm mergers, but we've seen a number, I bet you since our last call, the last 30 days, I've seen 40 CPA firm mergers occur. And
wow.
And I don't recall a rate like this. I know I don't know all of them, but for me to know about 40 in the last 30 days, that's appalling. And we know the number of CPA firms is dropping, and so maybe there's a little bit of this going on too.
Sure. Other things that Thompson announced, accounts payable for their new accounting CS product line is now released. They said they'd be releasing receivables in the spring. And they are working on a work papers product, if you will, probably in their new accounting CS line to replace engagement CS. So
that,
those were sort of the big announcements.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting big announcement. And as you know, Melissa Yard takes care of a lot of that activity. She wasn't in San Diego, kind of stayed behind to work on the project. So we know that that's got to be pretty far along the pipeline to make that happen. And for them to announce the forthcoming. And positioning-wise, that's pretty interesting that we've now got this browser-based engagement manager. And the positioning of engagement CS will be interesting to see how Thompson plays that out over time.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, I too was at CCH, but go ahead and give our listeners your take on CCH.
Well, CCH, probably some of the bigger announcements there. I think one, I was in preparing for our call, Dad, thinking about this one. The CCH Scan product, the 1040 work paper product, they announced the SaaS version of that product, and you can pay for the electronic bookmarking of a work paper on a one-off basis now by enrolling in their program. And the cost per return is targeted to be $3. Well, when you look at the competitors of SurePrep or Copanion or whoever else we'd want to talk about, I don't know of anybody that can really do the work paper organization at the $3 a work paper range, which to me makes it a lot more of a no-brainer. No local installation of software. To me, that's a pretty interesting move forward. If you want to use the populate function, the data entry function, they still sell the autoflow functionality separately for that if that's of interest. So that was a pretty big announcement. I think number two was the amazing quantity of applications that CCH showed. And I played with a number of these personally, and strategically, CCH did an approach which I 100% agree with, which is they developed the applications using HTML5. So rather than Nate writing a native iPad app or a native Google app or whatever, they used components of BlackBerry or Apple or Android that they needed to access client information, but the majority of the app was built through HTML code, which means it runs on any platform that supports a browser. And their apps were quite broad in nature. Not only did they have the research products done that way, they had some practice management pieces done that way. And in the broad brush, half a dozen plus apps available now, so people can use them during this coming tax season. But further, they introduced or announced a program where they are looking for ideas for apps from firms, and they're paying kind of a bounty on them with a $2,500 reward for their favorite idea of all of those ideas. They tell me, and I talk to the technical people behind this, that they can write the apps using this style in less than 30 days. Most of them they can write in less than 2 weeks. And so as I was looking at the options that they had on the iPad or that they had running on the Zoom or on other multiple platforms, I'm thinking, this is very, very pretty. And it also is interesting to me because I have the good fortune of receiving my Kindle Fire yesterday. And the Kindle Fire as a tablet is a phenomenal product. I think it's more personal than business. But, right now I can't imagine for some consumers why they would ever purchase an iPad compared to the Kindle Fire. That's a pretty strong positioning if you think about that.
That is.
And you could run HTML5 on the Kindle Fire quite effectively. So...
Interesting.
I don't want to distract our listeners thinking, oh, we shouldn't be using iPads, but at $200, I'm actually asking myself why I'd even use, let's say, a Samsung Galaxy.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I've already run the CCH applications on the Kindle Fire. So I'm kind of scratching my head here a little bit with maybe our listeners, but beyond that, CCH also had improvements in their workflow, workstream product, which were good to see, and had more supporting announcements around their evolution of document and practice management and so forth. So many of those things we've probably known about today.
The things I'm seeing from CCH is their SaaS suite is getting stronger. It's it's picking up traction, getting stronger. I think we're going to see a lot more in the coming year or two with that product.
I think that's
getting
true.
Stronger and stronger.
I have clients right now that are running production on the SaaS suite. And I get pretty frequent feedback from them as they tell me this is working or that's not working or here's what's going on and so forth. And, the product has come along just fine. And so the vision of where all of this is going to wind up from all of the big publishers, Thomson and CCH and Intuit, which I'll drag in because really what happened at the Slater conference, we're in an exciting time for these applications doing a better job of supporting our practices.
Yeah, no doubt. So tell us a little bit about what you saw and heard at Slater.
Well, Doug Slater, in his accounting, QuickBooks Accounting Conference, produced one of his largest shows ever, record attendance. The attendees were very serious in terms of supporting their clients and so forth. They had top-level executives from the major publishers in attendance, so Intuit representatives and CPA to biz representatives and Sage representatives and right on down that type of the deal. But they did review the QuickBooks 2012 announcement, some of the new QuickBooks Online Accountants Edition pieces. They made public in a broad way their ProLine practice management capabilities. The original developers of that product, the Edison Zadig Big Time folks, were present there at the show as exhibitors. And confirmed that, they were pretty much able to back out of the development cycle. So the product, in their opinion, was ready for release, and Intuit agreed it's ready for release. So for, our listeners who are Intuit shops running Lacert or Pro Series, they're going to have integrated practice management available, which is a fine thing to have happen. The ProLine tax products, the SaaS versions of the tax applications, had additional improvements that were shown. And so, when you step back and say, who's innovating the most right now? It's pretty clear to me that Intuit has stepped up their game internally. I don't think they've done a very good job of positioning themselves externally at times, but they're very serious about their development work, and I'm not sure that that might have been something we could say about them 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Sure. Now, Xero, did they make a big announcement there as well?
Oh, man, did they ever. Xero had all of their key upper-level personnel from around the globe in Vegas, so CEO down. And they basically said, look, we're here with the release of our product in the United States market. And in the big picture of things, I think they are close to ready to prime time. And notice they're a little bit of reserve. The product still, in my opinion, is missing just a couple of items that are important to be able to use the product for clients. The payroll integration being one of those that I thought they'd have done in time for the Slater conference, which they didn't. But they've made enough progress in all the other areas. If you have clients that don't have inventory needs, this product is pretty much ready for prime time. Now, if
we
want to be a little more conservative with our listeners, perhaps we'll let them go through tax season. And we'll let them go through tax season, and when they come out, let's say next summer, it's going to be time to really look at the product with some serious stuff. What I might suggest is short term, because hopefully our listeners are hearing this before they get into the tax season in 2012, I would consider getting a free account and evaluating what the products can do today so they can get a feel about it and maybe think over an appropriate business strategy. There's not much doubt in my mind that it makes sense for certain types of our listeners to focus their practice around using Xero and perhaps not using Thomson's, the CFA product or using QuickBooks. As odd as that sounds.
Yeah, interesting. So something to pay, you know, I'm sure we'll do more along the lines of zero as we go down the road. But, you know,
and, you know, one more thing, if I could interrupt there. And one more thing that's probably important to hear is zero is adamant about accountants using their product having training. And I think if I could go back and emphasize one more item out of these different conferences is how much the training is needed and how we're not exactly getting the type of training that we, you know, should have.
Well, you know, you bring up a really good point, something you and I have talked a lot about. And I don't know if our listeners really understand the different type of trainings that might be available. One type of training is just, I guess I'll call it product training. Here's what our product is. Here's what our product does. Here, take it and make it work in your practice. You know, I believe there's a lot of vendors doing that kind of training. I personally find it, you know, if you're somebody like me or you, Randy, who loves technology, who spends time getting into this stuff and can create the processes, you know, that is probably fine for us, right? But if you're a firm and you're a practice manager or whatever, a partner, and you don't get this stuff, you get tax, you get audit, you get other things, but this is not your strength, that kind of training sometimes leaves you feeling a little bit short. What's your take on that?
Well, I've had the good fortune in the last 30 days of being in about 5 different CPA firms, all of who had spent in excess of $7,000 on training, and all who said, wow, we think they did a good job of training. They came in and taught us a lot of features. We just don't know what to do with it. So I believe your interpretation of this is very much on target. And so we have to think about in our firms how we're going to move from this mechanical training into much more of what works for our clients, what serves clients well, what reduces our time, what is going to make us more profitable. And we really have to look at it from both a strategic and tactical perspective, I believe. When I think about what the top executives were saying from all of these different companies, we've heard it from Thompson, we've heard it from CCH, we've heard it from Intuit, we've heard it from Xero, and so forth, is we've got to learn how to use these products to serve our clients better. But, you know, again, we've got this disconnect right now between mechanical and really what works.
Yeah. So it's more process, how to take the solution, put it in a process or procedures to actually make it work for your firm type training.
Yes, it is that type of thing. And it's more than, you know, maybe us doing a tax debriefing and saying, look, here's how we're going to use a tax return. I think a lot of firms go through that and they believe that they've got their processes pretty well nailed down. But I think they've got a lot of frontline people who don't know how to do some very straightforward things. And I'm going to pick on ProSystem Tax as an example, which has a delightful way to export and import low-level detail, let's say depreciation schedules, or let's say, you know, brokerage statement exchanges and so forth. I'm amazed how many practitioners I talk to that don't know how to import those things and are winding up seeing massive amounts of data. And they could have a process where they requested that data either from the brokerage house or from the clients directly and requested in a format that they wouldn't have to see it. But they haven't really thought through the process. They just say, oh, you know, it's just quicker for us to key it. And, you know, that's a minor example. But yeah, other big things include things like being able to electronically sign off on 8879s or being able to exchange the data smoothly electronically. It's a combination of what makes sense for the client and the firm, and how can we make it easy, and how does that help us from a management perspective? There's so many elements going on here.
You know, Randy, I'm seeing this as simple as, you know, we have our company, RootWorks, and we help firms sort of figure this stuff out. And as I talk to, roughly 300 firms that we deal with, it's as simple as what's the process look like to add a new client to our system? Because, in the old days, that meant putting them in your time and billing system, and that was about it, maybe a tax return system. Well, today, that's getting them into your practice management with the right contact information. Then it's making sure that ends up on your mobile device seamlessly, and it's adding a portal, it's adding document management, it's linking that to the tax software. It's all kinds of things. And so what used to seem like a fairly simple process, now people are just totally bogged down and not understanding how to manage this massive complex situation of just adding a new client to your mix.
Well, and let's take it from the start of our conversation today. If you're adding a new client, that new client has 20 employees, and you're trying to do individual self-service, you've really got to not only get that one client in, but there are 20 employees properly in your system as well.
Absolutely.
So, now you've got even a bigger problem, and what happens when they move and all those other mechanics behind it. Further, I think one of the best ways we can get higher realization in our firms is by simplifying, changing them. First, the processes in the firms are often broken to start with, and then second, we have no automated tools to help us through that. Or if we try to use the automated tools, we're trying to do things the old way while doing the new way. So this is a technically difficult thing to do, and I think that's probably the reason why firms are not able to figure it out, because you're smart guy. You figure a lot of this stuff out, and you stick with it because you say, look, I'm going to make this darn thing work. Well, I've talked to dozens, and probably not exaggerating, hundreds of firms that have tried to make it work and couldn't figure it out. It's probably why they're talking to me. Because if they'd have figured it out on their own, they wouldn't have had to talk to me. And I think, as I watched your, sessions that you ran earlier, the Academy of sessions earlier in the year, it was very interesting to listen to your members talk to you about, we're doing it this way, and is there a better way, and how can we do this smarter? And not only was it you giving them feedback about how to do something better, but their peers around them explaining, here's how we do it, and here's why it works, and trying to learn from each other these, I'll call it mechanical and technical shortcuts to really just run the practice better.
That's where it becomes powerful, I believe, is when you get somebody facilitating that has experience, and then you have a group of practitioners who are all trying to do very similar things, and you're getting their feedback, and they feed upon each other because you get good ideas flowing around. So, well, Randy, we're out of time today. Good discussion.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited about this because if John's right, it's really 40% of the firms, or if you're right, it's really 30% of the firms that are trying to do this, I'd sure like that number to be bigger, and I do hope a lot of our listeners are in that 30% that want to make themselves better, and that they'll continue to seek those opportunities out, because if we find them, we're going to continue to tell them about them, and I hope that we'll be able to point them in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, hopefully you have a good holiday, Thanksgiving, and all that. Same to our listeners. Thanks for your time today, and looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Pleased to spend some time with you and all the listeners, and we'll talk very soon.
Great. Thanks so much.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you'll be able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.